we're going to begin the hour by catching up with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Hemminger, who joins us here in the studio, fresh over from the People's Academy, People's Academy.
We've had two classes of 30 people start our first ever People's Academy, which started today. We're hopeful to keep doing it. We think the response will be positive. Mm-hmm. First batch of 30, we're over there, and we're doing the introductions, and Manager Jones was going through the list of what managers do and what the departments are. I gave greetings, and then they're going to have a whole series, a five-week course on. They're doing tours on Saturday, and it's helping people become more engaged with their community who want to learn how to become more engaged and showing how the town runs.
Very cool.
And then earlier today, you're going to laugh, I was over at an economic development conference with the ambassador from Ireland.
Okay.
And who knew North Carolina and Ireland were so much alike?
In what way?
Well, Ireland has really had a comeback with startup companies, technology.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Apparently, we buy more butter from Ireland than anywhere else. That's the
I wouldn't have guessed any other country.
We sell them a lot of sweet potatoes. So
okay. Yes.
Apparently, we've got some good relationships, but they are
the two of those together are really tasty.
Well, and they have a large, growing young population because they do have so many job opportunities, and they are growing so many startup companies, and things are really doing well in the high tech. One of the areas of high tech for them is the clean tech industries, and we have started that here in the Triangle, too. We have some of the most noted ones in the country are moving here, and so there's a lot of similarities, and so there's how do we network, how do we work together, how do we cross the ocean and do all that, and then the ambassador will be, and the general consul was here from Atlanta, as well from Ireland, and they were meeting this afternoon on UNC campuses. So we're talking about how everybody works together. It's
That's cool. So what is it that brought the ambassador here to Chapel Hill as opposed to anywhere else?
He talked about that. He said, you know, normally when you think about doing business in the United States, you think of the New England areas or maybe the West Coast. And he said now they're concentrating more because of our workforce, because of our triangle area with the universities and the emphasis on startup companies and life sciences and clean tech and the things that are similar. They're looking at how do we partner, how do we invest with each other, those kinds of things. So it was cool, and really enjoyed hearing about the history and transformation of where Ireland was, where it is now, and in one of every 10 Americans that visits Europe goes to Ireland, and how Ireland has become more diverse, that they have these growing populations and welcome them, and they're very a progressive community. And so we like to think of ourselves as progressive.
Yep,
so
yep.
There were a lot of similarities, and it was really wonderful to hear. And, you know, the world's becoming smaller is not the right word, but they're not the barriers there used to be.
Yeah.
Everyone's knowing more about what's going on and finding where partnerships really, really work.
Geographical barriers don't mean what they used to.
No.
Right? It used to be a real trip to get from one part of the world to another that takes a very long time, and now it's a blink of an eye.
He talked about
there.
That as well, how he had to sail or, you know, take the steamboat across, and now with the flights. And he talked a bit about Brexit and what that might do to the European economy, and how people are a little fearful to invest in Britain right now, and that's been to Ireland's advantage, apparently. So, so that was really, really cool.
Cool.
And then we had a joint meeting last night
with
the commissioners.
With the commissioners,
It was helpful. We wanted to have a joint meeting so we'd be all in the room at the same time hearing the same information about where we were with the light rail, especially the gateway planning area. The reports come back from the consultants. There's a planning document, and the council's meeting in tomorrow morning at our economic sustainability meeting, which is always open to the public, to talk about the future land use map and the gateway station and what kind of parameters we're looking at. What are the driving factors? You know, what are we looking for? Things like we want to make sure there's transit connections to there before the light. I mean, and afterwards, how do we get people to the gateway? Green spaces, residential, commercial space, and all the things that we want in planning for the future.
So at this point, we pretty much know where the stations are going to be. It's just a question of what's going to go around it.
Well, you can't just let what's going to go around it. You really want to plan for the future, so you want to put a regulating plans. Where would you like the roads to go? How do you connect up? Right.
You don't want to
do it one parcel at a time. You want to have that regulating plan out there. You want to have some certainty, too. Similar to form-based code, there might be there might be a regulating plan that also says if you're going to do here, we would allow these kinds of uses and these kinds of buildings, which you're going to have to incorporate some green space. We showed the walking radius to the station, and most people are willing to walk a quarter to maybe a half a mile. And so how do you incorporate the businesses and the residential components to make sure people can do that? we talked about how the retail field has just shifted. I mean, people are ordering things online. Getting retail businesses is harder, but services are still included in that. And how do you make a community there? And what does it look like? And is it connected to our downtown? All of those kinds of things. So you want to be thinking towards the future, because we're, you know, we're planning for all this for 2040 and out, and it'll be here before you know it. But if you don't put in some of those parameters, you just would end up with a hodgepodge thing that didn't maybe work as well as it could.
That's a fascinating thing about city planning, and you see it in Chapel Hill. You're really seeing it in Pittsburgh when they're planning for Chatham Park, and just about everywhere. You really have to plan ahead for a city that doesn't exist yet.
Right.
I mean, really, like the difference between Chapel Hill now and Chapel Hill 22 years from now is going to be night and day in a lot of respects, and you got to make the plans now for that eventual.
Well, it's going to be a node out there of some sort between Easttown, UNC Healthcare, and development of Easttown, and other we foresee other medical, and there's already other medical offices out there. We see that being a job center. We want to be able to, like I said, we love that live, work, play, so that you don't have to commute to do it. You can stay in that place. But how does that fit into the community? What is it laying it out so it works really, really well, doesn't cause more traffic issues, and to make it just a better outcome for the future?
So that was discussed, affordable housing as well as the other big issue.
Yes, so we wanted to give the commissioners a copy of our dashboard. We've worked really, really hard. The staff has done a really amazing job with it. The tool's online. You can go look at it. Talking about where we are right now with affordable housing, where we want to go, and then we have a bond out there that's on the ballot to help us get there. And it talks about how many units we're helping with subsidies, how many units are naturally occurring affordable housing, and how many units we want to repair or keep in the affordable housing field. And you can follow the progression, and it lays it out in a dashboard format so anybody can look at it and go for the information they're looking for. And I think the commissioners were impressed. We did talk about Chapel Hill is 22,000 residential units. That's everything. That's houses, apartments, hotel rooms, shelter beds. It's everything out there. So trying to think about what we look like in the future, too, from that kind of growth.
22,000 total for a town of, what, 60,000? Yeah. I would have thought... I don't know what I would have thought. I would have thought more than 22 for a town that size.
So they say that there's all kinds of variations on that, but there's an average of 2-point-something people per unit.
Interesting.
And that's how that comes out. And the math works out at some point, because I know we subtract a little bit for students. Carrboro just got their student inventory of their percentage of their population, so we'll be getting ours soon and seeing what that looks like as well. Some students are on campus. Those units aren't counted, so it's all varied in there, but we're growing. We haven't grown as fast as Durham or Raleigh percentage-wise. We've had more controlled growth.
So when it comes to affordable housing, I know one of the projects that people are looking at right now is that CASA project on Merrill Mill.
Yes.
We've got a story running, I think, today about that project and what is the future of that going to hold. Because I know you were excited, Chapel Hill officials
were
excited, Carrboro officials were excited, and then that one obstacle.
To apply again.
Yeah.
And they've been in contact with groups to find out how they could make the score better, or maybe there's an opportunity, or maybe the competition won't be as tight for that one. We're also very excited. We have coming forward this fall our Homestead Road project. It's town-owned property that we're looking at doing affordable housing in a multitude of different ways, different kinds of affordable housing to help with the needs we see in our community. And then we are working with our public housing and the staggering, building something new, being able to shift some folks over so we can do a better job and refresh, renew, rehab, or knock down and rebuild our public housing, and to fold those in one after another. We also talked last night a little bit about areas of town that we're looking at for our future land use map along the corridors, almost all of them. There were a few parcels, though, that we haven't taken a look at before. We wanted the commissioner just to give us some input. One of them we call either the cat's ear or the Pikachu ear up north of town. That's over there behind New Oak Commons. That it's across I-40, but it's still in our planning jurisdiction. Were there thoughts? I mean, what should the future of that parcel be? One of the reasons we're interested is because it connects to the backside to Easttown. Now, you'd have to cross I-40, but there is a connection there across, and that may or may not, but we should at least be, if we're planning out for 20 to 30 to 40 years, we should take a look and say, well, what do we think will happen there?
Yep.
South of town, the town actually owns a 10-acre parcel just outside of the Wasamba Samba agreement. Do you know what the was?
I don't. I'm still stuck on Pikachu ear. So
that's the shape of it. The Wasamba is the water. Water Urban Services boundary line that all the entities came together to decide for. It created the rural buffer because we don't allow water and sewer to go out into that. And so it's jagged all along in certain places. Well, our 10-acre parcel is just outside of the water sewer boundary. Should we consider extending the boundary? All the partners would have to agree. And we just wanted some input from the commissioners, what they were thinking, because along that 15501 corridor, Walmart's right across the Denham County line.
Right.
So it's not like we're preserving out into the country. There may be opportunities. But that's a parcel we've identified for future affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes us a long time to get all four entities to agree to something. So is it time to start thinking about that particular section? Mm-hmm. Don't know. We were just curious what they thought. They said they'd like to know if the people who currently live in that whole area would like to be considered to have water and sewer. So I think that was a good comment to go back out and talk to community and see if they're interested in water and sewer before we try to move forward with thinking about that.
Speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Hemminger, other things happening?
So Monday night we're going to do a report out to the public, anyone who's interested in hearing about things we learned while we were in Lawrence, Kansas. That's going to be at 6 p.m. at the Chapel Hill Library. And then we have a regular business meeting on Wednesday next week, and we have a lot of things in there. I will say that tomorrow evening is the day without water opportunity. There's going to be a panel over at Memorial Auditorium. I'm going to be involved in listening with that, and then there's a play that's being put on that should be really interesting. It's in German. Subtitles, but the philosophy.
Is it the enemy of the people?
Yes.
Yeah.
The two brothers. One's the mayor.
Yeah, they did that at Playmakers a year or two ago.
Did they really?
The English language version at Playmakers, and it was fantastic and troubling and stark and thoughtful and thought provoking. So
sounds my job. So maybe I should.
Hopefully not quite. I've seen this play.
Yeah. So I'm excited to get. Well, it's supposed to be the mayor is one brother,
right.
And who's the other brother?
I think he's a newspaper.
Yes,
a journalist,
I think so.
Of some
and it's
kind.
About
I'm
putting
sure.
in a water facility, and and it could be helpful or it could be damaging to the town.
Right.
So I'm very intrigued. So we'll be going to that.
Very
so,
cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, this warm weather.
Yes.
And I'm hearing lots of reports. People are complaining about all the mosquitoes. So a heads up: empty any water you have, standing water anywhere, please.
It could be worse. I have not been affected by the mosquitoes at all. Since the hurricane, we went to Lawrence. I got bit 7 times in an evening.
Oh,
I don't know what happened
there. It
was
there. That North Carolina blood you brought.
Has to be, yeah. So before we wrap up, a couple of things that are coming up down the road in October. Some open houses the town is holding the week of October 22nd. I think a couple of weeks away for bus rapid transit
that people want to know about.
I think
that's coming up. Again, always go to our website. Mm-hmm. We try to post everything possible that's going on. But that open house is happening, and I'm blanking on the other one. You'll have to help me here.
I think there's two, right?
About, on that and that.
On that week,
yes,
right?
Yes, right. So we'll do that.
Okay. Town of Chapel Hill.
What's that noise?
townofchapelhill.org for more information about the town, full schedule of upcoming events and meetings and everything else. Mayor Hemminger, thank you so much.
Thank you.